It's Tuesday, 9th of March. It's time to get your grin on with the Grincast, here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Rhodes.
Hello.
And Nikki.
Hello.
Light on the ground, podcasting-wise, but we've got stuff to talk about regardless, because it's been a week and there's been gaming. Speaking of which, Rhodes, tell us about something you did.
What, like just in life?
Or? In general, you repair a car or...
Oh, God, no. I can barely feed myself. Never mind, fix a car. what games have I played this week? You know what? Bang on balls. Let's go with bang on balls.
How's about your bang on balls?
I've been playing with some balls. I was like, oh, fucking, it's already too late. We start again, please. Bang on Balls Chronicles is a 3D platformer about balls. I hate this. It's you customize your balls, and then you destroy things with your balls. Is this a gag? Like, why did I do this?
Tell us more about your balls, Rhodes.
Well, they're bouncing, for fuck's sake.
There was a game released several years ago, Unbox a Newbie's Adventures, and from the trailers, Bang on Balls Chronicles looks to be similar, whereas in Unbox you were a box, and you had to roll around, and yes, it's not easy to roll a box.
No. But the interesting thing about this one is you don't, even though you're a ball, you don't roll when you move. Like, you sort of just slide on your ass. Like, you've got like your attack is it's like a roll, it's like a charge, and then the charge becomes a roll, but like your general movement is just sliding around basically, but like it doesn't feel like sliding, so it's like you've got little legs underneath your ball. For God's sake, this game. But it's set in like the levels are all historically inspired, and you've got the level that's currently in it, because it's in early access, is the Viking stage. So you play, you're on the side of like the Brits in this, but you don't have to be like all the balls have little national flags on them to like denote who they represent in this historical battle. But obviously you can customize yours, so you can be like, I don't know, like a British ball with a monocle and a mustache, you know, and the Swedish ones have got like long blonde hair sort of thing, like a Swedish Viking would have. And it looks
Viking.
Swedish Viking. Yeah, look, I didn't make the game, don't at me. They said it wasn't historically accurate, and they were correct. They've also got deck chairs, which I don't think the Vikings had either. But you essentially, what you do is you, there's objectives, like there's no, it's not like a level where you go, you start and then you've just got to get to the end. It's a big open plan level, and you have to go, you press, I think it's like T on the keyboard, and it will like light up, and here's all your objectives. And it's mostly just stuff like knock down this wall, or destroy these cannons, or more, well, not cannons, but yeah, trebuchet, obviously not cannon, it's like the 1000s or whatever. And you know, it's simple stuff like that, but like it's actually surprisingly fun to just to bounce your ball off of balls. I hate myself and what I've become. And like it's such a good looking game, and it doesn't have the right to be so good looking, because I'm sure this entire game is just a joke about testicles. Like, that's all it is. But at some point, someone went, shall we actually try? And then the team went, yeah, let's actually try. And then they made a good game about testicles and Swedish Vikings. Swedish Vikings. What is that? And there was Polish ones, actually, now I remember it. Like, there was Polish ball. There was a Polish ball representing the Vikings. I've got nothing. I don't know what's going on.
Well, Vikings are very in now.
Polish Vikings and Swedish Vikings as well, or...
Everyone can be a Viking.
Well, maybe like we missed the part in history where the Vikings colonized most of Western Europe and Scandinavia. And the creators of Bang & Balls Chronicles have done some extensive research and discovered about that.
My knowledge of Vikings comes from Thor comics.
Well, you probably know more than me.
I mean, a lot of it is some writers do go to the actual myths and base stories around those. But then you have Thor flying around space and solving problems for aliens before returning to Earth to be a human doctor.
To be fair, as strange as that sounds when it comes to learning about Vikings, my knowledge of Vikings comes from Bang & Balls Chronicles, the 2021 video game that's currently in early access. So,
okay, Nikki, what about you?
Hi, yeah, so this week I've been playing Idle Manager, which I'm going to tell you a fun little tale about. So Idle Manager is one of those kind of sim games where you've got to manage a lot of numbers, a lot of statistics, but it's based on the sort of idol culture within an industry within Japan, more so because of the fact that it uses yen, and because a lot of the kind of references and story stuff that happens is very reminiscent of things that do happen and have happened in the idol industry. It's a very messy industry when you actually get into it, and it's nice to see a game kind of give you that at the same time as also getting to run your idol group. So you start at nothing, you hire some staff, you get some rooms, you get some idols, you do auditions, and you just go for it, and you get fans, you get money, and you just grow your idol group and until it becomes bigger and bigger and better. I had no originality for a name, so looked around the room, saw the Girls in Panzer video game, and went, right, Girls in Banana it is, that's the idol group. And every single song was something involving bananas, which somehow worked. There was a member of the group called Queen. There was one called Grump because she was always grumpy. And then there was another one, which I'll get to in a minute, because I've only messed around in free play mode, but I found the debug menu. And then I found two buttons, one that gives you money and one that gives you fans, the two main resources you need. So I thought, well, for the sake of science, I need to push this to the max. So I turn on debug mode and I just start just hitting those keys nonstop. And I'm just like, awesome. I'm not having to worry about money. I'm just getting more and more fans. Let's just play around with all the systems and have as much fun and try and not break the game, but see how far I can push it. And that's when I discovered that you can romance the idols. And I thought, okay, how does that work? I'm curious now. So, morbid curiosity got the better of me. And I was like, right, well, we've got infinite money. Let's just see what happens. Like, what is the end state of romancing one of the idols? And one of the idols, I literally this is so bad. I went through all of the ones that I had and flirted with them until one of them went, like, responded positively. And then at that point, I was like, you're it. And that was it. The game was afoot. So, God, this makes me sound so messed up. It's so bad. Hey,
which one of you girls wants it? You? You'll do. I don't like you, but you'll do.
Well, the thing is as well, so I was playing as a female manager, and I looked over the sort of the itch forums and discovered that the idols, because you can be either male or female, all the idols at this point in the game are female. There is essentially like a 50% chance that the idols will be either gay or bi. So most of the idols I went through were just like, no, I don't date women. And then I found one who did. So I was like, okay, cool. I'm still producing music at the same time. We, you know, gain the friendship because you can talk to the idols once every 7 days. So building up a friendship, flirting with them. We then start to go on dates and there's all that lovely stuff that goes, you know, all these little visual novel-esque cutscenes. It's all a lot of fun. And then she comes to the office one day, a little event pops up, visual novel event. She goes, I don't like the nickname you gave me. And I'm thinking, I haven't given you a nickname. And she says, I want a new nickname. I was like, what suggestions do you have? And she says, I want to be called Nightshade. And I was like, let's do this. To cut a long story short, I then spent an hour, bearing in mind I'm cheating because I'm using debug keys, getting her friendship to max and her romance to max. And in the end, we the relationship got found out, but we worked through it. It was all good. I ended up leaving the business so that she could keep being an idol and we could be together. And then not even a few weeks later, she dumped me. And the ending image that the game gave me was just me sat in an armchair. It's raining. And I had like the big glass of whiskey. And I just sat there looking at this image on my screen. And I was like, yeah, that seems pretty right, actually. That, yeah. No, I deserve this.
there's an important question here, though. When you were trying to court the young idol, did you make them the star from the center of your band?
Of course I did.
I like that, yeah.
Which then caused all the other idols to keep coming up to me and being like, hey, why do you keep putting her at the front? Why is there favoritism? And then I just proceeded to fire every single idol. At one point, bearing in mind I was running it at like double speed, I think Girls and Banana was just Nightshade, and all she was doing was going to the spa and occasionally doing world tours. That was it. All in between me basically calling her into my office once a week to just kind of flirt with her.
How many country world tours?
I just do one at a time. I would just like randomly send her to like Canada. Then it's like, all right, you did Canada. Then 3 months later, why don't you go do France? I think at the end I had something ridiculous like 5 billion yen as well. And I was paying her like 1 million yen a day or something stupid like that.
Before I start talking about my games, I'd just like to mention that we were sent some Beyond NRG drinks. They're a gamer fuel food supplement. Not a replacement. They don't want to say energy drink, but that's basically what they are. They have a bunch of caffeine and other stuff in there to give you a boost and to improve your gaming, apparently. We also sent as Vortex Shaker, which, so I'd assume is this thing, you put your powder in, you put your water in, you shake it. It's actually a blender. Put your stuff in and you press the button and it creates a whirlpool or a vortex inside the thing, and takes 2 AA batteries and lasts for 100 drinks, apparently. They sent me enough powder for 60 drinks, so it'll outlast the powder. There was actually a tub of Mortal Kombat limited edition. Well, the flavor's not limited edition, it's just the tub is. Because the flavor is, looking at my notes, blue raspberry lemonade. I didn't try that one yet. I tried a mango pineapple blood orange one, and I'm not a fan of mango, and you can't really taste the mango very well, very much, so that's a good thing. The drink's okay. It's going to take a few days for me to get a base level of, is it giving me energy, or is this just natural energy that I'd have at this point of the day anyway? So I'll try different times of the day, see what happens. Hopefully I don't grow a tail or something.
I hope you do. That'd get me invested if you could grow a tail with it.
I was going to cut that out, but I might as well leave that bit in.
Thank you. Thanks for giving me my moment.
Okay, well, myself, the game I want to talk about is Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth Hacker's Memory. I had to stop playing it because the mission I was doing had a glitch. I've been playing it on the Vita, and you're supposed to meet up with these two Digimon, and then a cutscene kicks in as soon as you reach them. I watched someone play through it on YouTube to double check yes, that's what's supposed to happen. This cutscene was not kicking in. I tried restarting the game, restarting the console, blah, blah, blah. And then suddenly one day I realized, it has cross-save with the PlayStation 4. So I re-downloaded the game on the PlayStation 4, did the cross-save, loaded it up, and got past that section. The cutscene kicked in. I proclaimed on Twitter that I was a genius. And I've managed to... I finished the boss battle, saved, cross-saved it back onto my Vita, and I've been playing it on there. And I came across a another boss a couple of hours later that every attack... it hits all three of my Digimon and would inflict panic, which makes them 80% likely to hit themselves and unable to do special moves. In the past, I've just struggled through it because my Digimon have been insanely strong. Just check out my review on GameGrind.com. I don't complain, but I do state that none of my Digimon got knocked out until the first boss. Well, I don't think it was the first boss, but yeah, it was very difficult to lose Digimon in the early game. So, because me and my wife wanted to watch something, I think it was WandaVision, I set it to auto battle by pressing select on the Vita. And they do their special moves and keep getting inflicted for three turns with this panic. And every couple of turns, this boss is increasing its speed. So it's having, instead of having one attack to every two of mine, it's having two attacks to every one of my Digimon. And I'm watching this battle, and I think, okay, that last attack took the boss down to one HP because it's got the tiniest pixel worth of health in its health bar. What's happening on the TV? A minute or two later, I look back at my Vita, and the boss is doing a final attack on my final still not dead Digimon, and I get game over. It went from one HP to obliterating my team. I was not amused.
I love that you went through all the effort of fixing your issue with the game as well, just for that to happen.
The next day, I did redo that, and I had a item where panic had a 50% chance of actually being inflicted, and I sorted my team out so that they were stronger types, because I now knew what I was up against. But yeah, it was frustrating. You know what isn't frustrating? Watching trailers for games that are coming out. Sniper Ghost Warrior Contract 2. We had a first look at gameplay this past week. The sequel to Sniper Ghost Warrior Contracts, obviously from 2019, which was the latest game in the Sniper Ghost Warrior series. Is due out on consoles and PC on the 4th of June, and according to the trailer, is extra, extra gory. Did you two give the trailer a watch?
I did, and I was a bit confused as to what I was watching. I was like, is this Sniper Elite? What is this? I've not really kept up with the Sniper Ghost Warrior games, but it looks okay.
Sniper Elite is the World War II game. Sniper Ghost Warrior is more modern day, and Ghost Warrior Contracts is set in the near future TM. In November 2019, Ghost Warrior Contracts is why I shot six people. Leaving that long pause in the recording so people can go to GameGrin.com and find out what the heck I'm going on about.
You're not lying, though. That's the scary thing.
No, I'm not lying. They were fine, I assume. Didn't see them. I quite liked Sniper Ghost Warrior Contracts. Each level, you have multiple objectives, so you've got multiple people to kill, and after you've completed a main mission, you can go back in for a different main mission. I'm looking forward to having new environments to shoot people in the face.
When do we, Rhodes, when do we have an intervention?
For Ace?
Yeah.
I mean, if we haven't intervented you on gacha games yet, then Ace has got a long way to go before reaching that level. Yeah, I think you'd be all right.
All right, touche.
Speaking of interventions, the EU decided not to intervene in Microsoft's acquisition of ZeniMax Media. So that $7.5 billion deal is going to go ahead. Microsoft have celebrated the fact by... I'll talk about that in a minute, but they're bringing some more Bethesda games to Game Pass this week, I believe. And yeah, it's a big one.
It's an odd situation where it feels like any big game company now can just sort of spend money and just take a little company. Microsoft. Well, not even little now. This is big. Bethesda, huge. I think the most misleading thing about seeing things like Microsoft buy Bethesda is the fact that Bethesda is so much more than Bethesda. You know, they're... You know, who's it? There's id, Machine Games, Arkane.
That's why I said ZeniMax Media, because that's who they've bought, which includes Bethesda.
Yeah, but no one knows who ZeniMax is. That doesn't grab the headlines. So it's fun. But like, it's such a big deal, I think, that a company... I mean, I know we spoke about it on the podcast before, but it's a big deal when a company this size is willing to throw the money. Because Microsoft, let's be honest, this is change to Microsoft. $7.5 billion. It's a lot of money to us. Is plebs to Microsoft, it's nothing. You know, they probably make more than that in a year with all their various divisions and brands combined. And if they wanted, like, I don't know, let's pick another random studio. Let's say they wanted, you know, Capcom. You know, they make some pretty successful games. If Microsoft wanted them, they could take them. And like, this is proof that they genuinely could just take any company they wanted at this point. Whether they would is obviously a different matter, but they've shown over the years, and this Bethesda deal proves more than anything that they're willing to throw their weight around and take companies. And it could lead to some pretty bad stuff if they're allowed to just monopolize at free will. Because Sony couldn't ever compete with this if they tried. Like, they don't have the money to do that. I think we all know that.
No, the EU ruled that it's not a monopoly.
Well, that's exactly it. At what point would it become a monopoly? When they keep buying, because this is obviously Bethesda is the biggest studio they've purchased recently. But a couple of years ago, they purchased like four or five, and they purchased Obsidian as one of them. How many studios do you have to purchase before someone goes, hang on a minute?
How many studios does Disney own?
Well, exactly, and it's the same premise. Like, it's scary that these big companies have now gotten to a point where they're not buying up small companies anymore. They're buying competitors, really, because that's what they are.
To give a bit of context to this, according to our good old friend Wikipedia, in 2020 Microsoft made $143 billion in revenue, whereas Sony made about $76 billion. So yes, that's 7 billion. It's nothing.
that's in revenue as well. I know that Sony, the PlayStation division makes them a lot of money, but I know a lot of their other divisions run at a loss, and the PlayStation division sort of balances it out. So even though they're making that much revenue, they probably aren't getting anywhere near that in terms of actual gross income. Whereas Microsoft will be mostly, well, it won't be mostly gross income, obviously, but if we read a report tomorrow that said Microsoft make gross revenue 100 billion a year, you wouldn't be shocked by that.
No, I think the thing that people are worried about is Microsoft, you know, they have a history of just closing studios. And I think a lot of people are kind of on the edge of their seat at the minute of like, well, how long is it going to be until they close one of these studios? I'm sure there's the weird thing to me is there's probably people that don't remember Lionhead and don't know what happened there. And literally Microsoft just walked in one day and shut Lionhead, you know?
Yeah, didn't they have a beta version of a Fables game? Like it
yep.
gone past alpha.
Yeah, Fable Legends was like, it's still literally and up until the day the company announced it was closing, the game was still in full, very much full active development.
Yeah, and this is another point. People will make this claim that Microsoft, they'll never shut down Bethesda. And I completely agree with that. They wouldn't shut down Bethesda because Bethesda are a big, big company and they make big games. But that doesn't mean they won't shut down id Software or Machine Games or Arkane, the smaller studios that comprise all of ZeniMax. Those are the ones that are in danger, not Bethesda.
Yeah, everyone talks about Bethesda and id Software and Machine Games, but AlphaDog, who here knows what AlphaDog has made? That's one of the studios they now own.
Yeah.
Wraithborn, a mobile game.
Aren't these like studios that just help with Fallout 76, aren't they? And is that going to be a thing that Microsoft want to continue Fallout 76? Because it's hard to see how that makes much money for Bethesda at this point. It's just a dying game that is server cost at the end of the day. And those two or three studios that they've got that just help support that and add content and maintain that game, if they kill Fallout 76, those studios will probably go.
Just as another little bit of random kind of information here, again, according to Wikipedia, to give you a comparison, because, you know, Microsoft, you know, they've got a ridiculous amount of revenue. Apple, $274 billion in revenue. They don't even... blah.
They were the first trillion-dollar company in history, Apple, I believe.
It is interesting, though, because, I mean, just to kind of, like, slightly go on a tangent, Apple, you know, you could almost argue that Apple is the closest to a monopoly in terms of, like, just the way they are as a company, but it's fascinating because they're not really in the games industry. Like, they have games on their platforms, but it's a closed platform. But yeah, like if we look at them just based on numbers, Apple has the money on paper to buy Microsoft or even Sony. That wouldn't happen. Like, that I don't think would happen. Like, if Apple or Nintendo or Sony or Microsoft tried to buy one of the others, I don't think that would be allowed to go ahead. But I'm quite surprised that this deal's been allowed to go ahead, actually.
There was talk at one point. Oh, go on, Ace.
No.
Oh, there was talk at one point that Disney were interested in Sony. And that is a company that if they wanted to, they would snap Sony up completely, like if they wanted it. People have pointed out that Japanese companies, there's like a sense of pride there, so they probably wouldn't sell to a Western studio or company. But the kind of money that these places throw around now, like it's not a joke. Like it goes beyond pride to a point where you have to look at it and go, ooh, can I really say no to that?
I mean, let's just to put things into perspective. When Disney bought Marvel, they bought Marvel for $4.24 billion. So Microsoft has bought ZeniMax for more than Disney bought Marvel.
Marvel at the time were struggling financially. Again, was a recurring thing with Marvel.
That's how Sony got Spider-Man really cheap, didn't they? Because they basically got free pickings of whatever they wanted. They said, we'll have the Spider guy, and that was it.
Fantastic Four, and well, no, that's Fox. But yeah, they Marvel were throwing their properties around because they needed the capital. But yeah, that's why Disney got them so cheap, and what a bargain it's been.
Yeah. I mean, even Spider-Man on its own was a bargain for Sony. That only cost them like $20 million or something, didn't it? And that's raked in so much money. Even then, when you move on to the main Marvel stuff at Disney, like, what's that? Like, those films must get like $300-400 million profit each at this point now.
Yeah, that's not what they rake in. That's profit that they get.
Yeah.
But yes, our next news story is leading off of the Bethesda Microsoft official joining. Microsoft released a blog where they talked about that they're happy to welcome Bethesda et al. And they say that PC and Xbox are going to be the and Game Pass are going to be the best place to experience new Bethesda games, including some new titles in the future that will be exclusive to Xbox and PC players. Which is it implies that the currently announced games are going to be multi-platform, but anything that's going to be announced in the near future is going to be console exclusive to Xbox.
My favorite thing about this was a member of the Game Grin team saying it'll just be the little games that make exclusive. Honestly, one of the cutest things I've ever read, I think, in my life.
Yeah, the little games like Elder Scrolls 7.
Fallout 5 and Doom 3. I don't know what to say, really. It's...
I know what to say. Should I get a PlayStation for all those exclusives? Eh?
I mean... Even with Bethesda, I think Sony would still have more exclusives.
Yeah. They've got some really good first party. I'm teasing. They've got some great exclusives.
I get that, but it's a point that you've made quite well in the past days to these people that exclusives are bad. Like even first party ones, I get why they're exclusive. Sony fund them, yada yada yada, and it makes sense. But it's shit that you pull things away from other people because of what they play on. This is just that turned up to 11, isn't it, really? Like, this isn't Microsoft starting a studio and being like, oh, cool, we've bought this little studio and we've got some new exclusives. This is them going, you know, these decorated franchises that everyone's had access to? Not you anymore. You don't get them anymore.
Yeah, it'd be like Sony buying Deep Silver and saying, okay, all Saints Row titles are PlayStation exclusive.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. I'm trying to think of, like, a massive franchise that's had this happen to it. Like, I can't think of one off the top of my head, really.
Saints Row. I just heard massive franchise.
No, I just mean, like, because like I can't think of a game bigger than this where Sony, I can think of, like, Bloodborne is like a good example. Obviously Bloodborne itself is a single game taking From Software and having them make a new game exclusive for their platform during like the height of like the Souls popularity and stuff. It's probably the closest thing I can think to this. That was just one game.
Yes, yeah, it's also it's related, but it's not like Dark Souls 2 is only available on PlayStation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Well, until we know what games exactly are going to be exclusive, all we have is guessing. Something that doesn't leave us guessing is we have seen some gameplay for Aliens Fireteam, the new game in the Aliens franchise coming from Cold Iron Studios. I didn't watch much of it because the people narrating it were super dull, and the gameplay type doesn't really interest me either. But it's certainly certainly an alien themed co-op shooter.
This game is so strange because I'm not the biggest fan of alien games, as in the franchise, not just aliens in general. But like the last alien franchise game that was big and came out was Isolation. Is that right?
Yes.
Which, as far as I'm aware, like people, I don't want to say everyone loved it, but like it was a very popular game. Everyone really, you know, everyone was into it and how great it was, a horror game, and et cetera, et cetera. I was really shocked when this got announced, and literally everything I was seeing, even from people here at Game Grin, from people on Reddit, Twitter, was people going, I hope it's not like Colonial Marines. And I was like, that game is so bad that the stink lingered past a really well-received alien game into this new alien game like 7 years later. And what the fuck?
People hated it so much. It doesn't help that it was only fixed by a fan who found out what the issue was. 2019?
I didn't even know it was fixed.
Yeah, so someone realized, enemies are misbehaving because this code has an extra angle bracket, or it's missing an angle bracket or something like that. So it's literally one edit to one file, and the game was apparently fixed.
That's crazy. It's crazy that one small issue is lingering so violently that Fireteam, you know what, it could be great. It could be an amazing game. And there's still going to be a good chunk of people who'll be like, nope, not doing it. I remember Colonial Marines.
I remember when the game was announced, a big console / PC Aliens game was in the works. And the studio behind it is called Iron Studios. And I looked into them and couldn't find any information about anything they'd done. And all it seemed to be on their website was, hey, come join us and you can get a 10% discount to merch with our name on it. That was literally one of the perks in the job description.
I don't...
You get a discount on company-branded merch.
I don't know anything about them, but searching their name brings up one article on gamesindustry.biz, which is just Cold Iron Studios gets sold for the fourth time. It was founded in 2015. And that was last August. So in 5 years, it's been bought four times.
Yeah, most recently by Daybreak Games, isn't it?
Yeah, Daybreak Games is the current owner of them. Let's see. I'm trying to figure out what their history was. Founded in 2015 by Cryptic Studio veterans. It was purchased by Fox in 2018.
Yeah, it was a Fox Next studio.
Yeah, then obviously got transferred to Disney, etc. And then I guess that was kind of the end. I guess as soon as you end up in Disney as a game studio, you're dead, aren't you? It doesn't fucking matter. They've done nothing. I don't think they've done anything. All this company has done since its birth 5.5 years ago is get sold.
And wind up with the Aliens license.
It's this company has generally sold itself more times than it has copies of video games. What?
And they have a bunch of stuff with their name on it. Like, this is going back to 2018. They had stuff with their name on it.
Who's going out there buying Cold Iron Studios t-shirts?
I mean, with a 10% discount, the staff, clearly.
What stuff? I would not want to be working for this company. I'd be so afraid we were going out of business every day.
Can you imagine if us three went to Gamescom and I'm handing out pads and pens to you guys with the Game Grin name on it and asking you to pay me for them?
That's 10% off, please. Oh, your pencil's bun. How about 10% off this Game Grid sharpener?
To close our episode out, I wanted to ask the main topic this week. What games have you bought on multiple platforms and why? No one wants to start us off. Okay, I'll start. all of the Saints Row games except for the first one, which was a 360 exclusive.
Why am I not surprised?
They're funny games.
The question isn't though, right? You say you bought them on all the platforms. How many times have you bought them?
The only review copy of any of them that I've got is Saints Row the Third Remastered on the PC.
So did you just did you buy them on Xbox and then buy them again on PC, or like, how did you?
Yes, I got them all on Xbox 360. I got the first two from eBay when I saw a trailer for the third, and it really captured my imagination. Bought the third when it came out, and then later when we got a PlayStation 3, I bought 2 and 3 and the 4 and Get Out of Hell on PlayStation 4, and bought 4 again on the Xbox One. I've bought all of them on Steam for the PC.
Right.
I don't have the third on Switch. I don't have 4th on Switch.
So you're not a real fan, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Right. I don't want to say I'm going to do you one better, but this is almost criminal. I've got Metal Gear Solid 3. I've got 7 different versions of that game.
What?
I've got 7 different versions of Metal Gear Solid 3.
There are 7 different versions.
I've managed to purchase it 7 times in different places. So we've got the PS2 original. We've got the 3DS version. We've got the remaster collection of 2, 3, and Peace Walker. We've got the Metal Gear Solid Anthology collection on the PS3, which has got all the MGS games in. I bought it as a handheld for the Vita, which is 5. I also got it as a handheld for the PSP, and I can't even remember where the 7th one is. I think I might just own 2 copies of the PS3 version. I think that's what the 7th one is.
Well, fair enough.
Completed the game 2. Thank you. Welcome to my TED Talk.
Only so completed it 2.
Not on all platforms.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever finished it on the PS2 either. That's the best thing.
Pathetic.
Love the early game so much.
Rhodes, come back when you've completed MGS3 more than I have, which would be about 12 times.
Yeah, but have you got 7 copies of it?
No, but I've got like 3 copies of each of them, bar the first one.
I've got 2 hours into Metal Gear Solid 3.
I'm actually looking at my shelf right now, and I can see my 2 copies of MGS5, my 2 copies of Ground Zeroes, 3 copies of 2 and 3.
I like that you've got 2 copies of Ground Zeroes, and if you put them 2 copies together, you've still got like a third of an actual size game.
Yeah. Okay, in my defense, the reason I own 5 and Ground Zeroes... So, Ground Zeroes, it came out, and I only had a PS3 at the time, so I got it on PS3. And then when 5 came out, I had a PS4, so I got 5 on PS4. But different retailers had different steelbooks as pre-order bonuses. So I was like, well, I want all of them. So I thought, well, I'll save a bit of money, and I pre-ordered a copy for PS3 so my housemate could play to get the steelbook because it was cheaper. And then I think a year later I found Ground Zeroes on PS4 for like a fiver, and I was like, well, I may as well at this point. But Dragon's Dogma is mine. I think I've got Dragon's Dogma. I've got 2 copies on PS3. I've got a copy on PC, I've got a copy on the Switch, and I got a copy on the PS4 as well. So that's 5 individual copies of Dragon's Dogma. Maybe Kingdom Hearts as well, actually. Yes, actually, yeah, no, Kingdom Hearts as well. I've got Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, both on PlayStation 2, and PlayStation 3, and PlayStation 4. And if I hate myself, I guess eventually PC when they come out as well, but maybe probably not.
I've got a fair few copies of Skyrim. I hate to be that guy.
I think we all do at this point, though, to be fair.
It's because, I tell you what, the reason I've got, I think I've got five, right? And the reason I've got five is it's a slightly inflated because I had it on the PS3 originally because I didn't have a PC when it came out. And I don't know if you remember, but it was fucking shit on the PS3. Like, it had so many issues. So I had a 360 because I bought like a cheap, like, you know, like the arcade 360s or whatever they were. Like, I bought like a secondhand one of those at some point when I was working in 2011. And I was like, I'm just going to buy Skyrim for that. I'm going to play it on the 360. And it ran like a dream. It was beautiful. Obviously, I then bought a game PC and I was like, well, I've got to mod Skyrim because that's like how you christen a PC game. And that's what I did. So I bought it on that. And then I got a VR headset and I was like, well, I've got to play it in VR, obviously. And then when my girlfriend was living in Bristol, I was like, well, I may as well buy Skyrim to play on the train for 4 hours every time I go and see her. And then obviously bought it on that and literally played it once. So I'm just an idiot, really.
Oh dear, we gamers, what are we like?
I own Skyrim on PC and Xbox 360.
Do you know, I've just realized another one that I not many copies, but I own two copies of the first Neptunia remake game. I had them. I've got pretty much all of them on PC because they're always super cheap. But for some reason, I was like, oh, I never play it. I'll buy it on Vita because then I'll play it. I played it for 20 minutes.
Yeah, there's a game that I've got two copies of, and it's probably the most shocking thing you'll ever hear. And it's Persona 4.
What?
I've got two copies of Persona 4. I've got the original PS2 version, and I have a copy of it on Steam.
But you didn't buy it on the Vita?
I didn't buy it on the Vita, no.
I bought it on the Vita, but nowhere else.
Between us, Ace, we've got three copies of Persona 4.
I have Persona 4 on the Vita.
I'm trying to think of what I actually own on the Vita. I think the only games I own on the Vita are classic PlayStation games. Like, I don't think I own any actual Vita games. Like, I've just got stuff like Tomba and Crash Bandicoot.
Something that makes me kind of... It's not really the same, but once the Nier remake comes out next month, I will have two copies of the original Nier, if you count the remake. But the reason I bring that up is because my copy of Nier on PS3 is still in its wrapping, and I'm going to leave it like that because it's oh.
You should sell it for millions of pounds.
Do you know what? If that's how all games that were wrapped were, I'd be selling Girls and Panzer because I still haven't opened that thing. In fact, I'm going to find out right now when I bought that because I think we're coming up to a year.
You've bought like 40 different games since then.
Bear with me.
Not right. Like indie games. I mean AAA titles.
Apparently, I ordered my copy of Girls and Panzer Dream Tank Match on the 3rd of July last year.
Oh my god, you're actually...
I still haven't opened it.
You even named it for first birthday.
You even named an idol band after them, and you still haven't opened the game.
I still haven't even watched all of it.
And you've finished so many other series.
Yep, and I've bought so many other games. I've just in the last 2 weeks bought two Pokemon games. Hi everyone, I am literally a degenerate.
That's just the most gamer thing I've ever heard. You've finished Metal Gear Solid 3 12 times, but Girls and Panzer is still sat on your shelf in the wrapping.
And I can't bring myself to finish the 7 remake, but that's a different story altogether.
Welcome to the Greencast intervention episode.
Yeah, I remember when this started as an intervention for you, Ace, because you'd liked Sniper Ghost Warrior and Rainbow Six.
I still got my copy of Persona 5 unopened as well.
Keep it unopened.
Wait until they bring out a third version of it.
Put them all next to each other like siblings.
And on that note, I think we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Rhodes and Nikki. And thank you for listening to this episode. Don't forget to check out GameGreen.com, where you can find all of our writing. Keep an eye on social media. Just search for Game Grin to find out whenever a new podcast goes live, as well as the daily news, reviews, and articles. Finally, if you subscribe via Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Stitcher, thank you. And if you can leave a review on your platform of choice, and even bigger thank you. And finally, game on.